Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Judith continuing on in a message I began a few days ago, Conquering the Old Nature. And we've been talking about obedience, obeying God in every area of our lives. Actually, not just hearing and listening to what the Word says, but applying that Word to our lives. Faith without works is death. And we've been looking at some of the very specific thing that Paul declares in the Word of God. What are the works of the flesh? And we've spent some time identifying them and describing them. And the basic root, I guess, of many of these works of the flesh is pride. Evil pride is an excessive belief in one's own worth, their merit, a sense of superiority. It also means conceit, and it always implies an exaggerated opinions of oneself or one's achievement. A person can be blinded by overweening conceit. They don't even know they are. And it also means vanity, an excessive desire to be admired by others for one's appearance or one's achievements, whatever. And an example is how a person's vanity can be wounded by criticism. Well, most of us, we don't like that. Our vanity is really hurt. So pride also includes a sense of vainglory, and this implies a high opinion of oneself that is usually not shared by others. Proverbs 14:3 states, "In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride." And Proverbs 16:8 declares, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And in Proverbs 22:23, "An angry man stirreth up strife." Have you noticed that? Some people, they just seem to be angry all the time, and there's always contention, there's always tumult around them. Let me finish reading that. "An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgressions. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." I've always loved that passage in Isaiah where the Lord says He dwells in the high and the holy place, and with Him also who is of a humble spirit and of a contrite heart, to revive the heart of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I may not have quoted that exactly. I was just saying it from memory. But the point is, God who dwells in inexpressible light, our God who is so great that the eyes of man cannot behold Him. We couldn't behold Him in His glory in our present day. We would die. But He loves us so much. He gave the most precious possession, if you will, His only begotten Son, to suffer and die for us. And that's why Jesus, He mirrored, He exemplified, He showed by example what a life of obedience is to God. And so, as we look in the Word of God, we've been looking specifically about what those specific works of the flesh are, and how do we get victory? Well, we mortify them, we put them to death through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it in ourselves. Paul declared, in this flesh nature of ours, sin dwells, and it's only by allowing the Holy Spirit, desiring not what our carnal desires or wishes are, but what the Spirit of God wants for us. And that's why I said, I think on the initial broadcast, that God is wanting us to grow up. And that's what when Paul said, I put away childish things, a child is very self-centered. It wants what it wants when it wants it. It gets angry, throws tantrums, and sometimes maybe when, as we grow up, we don't fall on the floor and kick our heels in the air, but emotionally, we can almost do the same thing. We might be a little more dignified about it, but we go through all sorts of trials and testings, and how do we respond to them? Well, James, in that first chapter, verse 2 states, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, the King James says, or various trials. And beloved, many of us have not attained to that place. I'm working on it. Realizing when a trial or test comes, it's an opportunity for God to show his power. It's an opportunity to move in a scriptural dimension. And there's always victory at the end if we do what the word tells us to do, to stand fast, to resist the enemy, to wield the sword of the Spirit, have the full armor of God. When your faith is tried, what do? You sin if you give in to the devil, if you rebel against God, if you rage, if you accuse God, if you point the finger at someone else and accuse them of keeping you from serving God. Those are all lies, beloved. James tells us what the testing of our faith does. It produces something that will never see us defeated. What is it? Well, let's read the very next thing that James wrote. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So it sounds like patience is a powerful tool, is a powerful means that we can be perfected in the maturity of a perfect man unto the stature of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Another translation puts it like this, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that ye may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me. He said that in Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 30. And he who does not gather with me scatters. Think about that. Beloved, there's nothing that can take the place of being obedient to the Lord. The very words we speak shows our character. And I'm talking about what we say when we're under attack from the devil. Jesus said, in Matthew 12:33, listen to what he said, beloved. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. Those are some pretty powerful words, a very strong statement. Reminds me of what Jesus said to the Laodicean church. He would rather have them hot or cold. He doesn't like lukewarmness, beloved. In fact, he said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. It sickens him. He wants someone who is passionate, not sitting on the fence. And he wants our love to be so strong and should be so on fire for the Lord, the zeal of that first love burning within our hearts. Beloved, God wants us, even this day, to take inventory of our heart and of our attitude. Are we trusting God when the battles come, or do we just complain and not, if we don't complain to others, we complain to God? Well, that's not a bad way to do it. I mean, if you're going to complain, as Jeremiah did, make your complaint to the Lord. Cast your cares upon him. Let him minister to you. He understands. And you, my eye just fell. I've had this little booklet, Devotional Meditations for the Believer, in front of me, so I'd remember to make it available to announce. And there's this prophetic word I just want to share with you. This little booklet is a compilation of just a few of the prophetic words that God has given to me to share with UCM partners. And my associate, Deborah Erickson, was inspired. I never asked her, but she was inspired by the Lord to just put it together in a little booklet. And these prophetic words, the Lord knows how to give us a word in season, will bless your heart. Hear what this particular selection is saying. This is the word of the Lord. Beloved, the way of the Lord is not hard or grievous, but an upward path that leadeth to the heights of Zion. In his humanity, in his final hours on earth, my son recoiled from the shame and suffering of the cross he was to face. Knowing all things were possible, he asked me that he would not have to drink that bitter cup, but submitted to his Father's will. Even so, I want you to be convinced my will for you is filled with love, mercy, grace, and wisdom for what is best for you. Therefore, surrender to a life of obedience in all things. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the price of his passion and death. Make that your aim as well. The joy that my heart and all of heaven has set before you. Part of his joy, beloved, is in seeing you walk in freedom and liberty, possessing your possessions and all that he purchased for you at the cross of Calvary. Be strengthened and be of good cheer, for it is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom, says your Father. Praise God. Well, I invite you to write and not only share your prayer requests, but as you write and share those requests, please feel free to request that devotional booklet. We'll be happy to put it in the mail to you free of charge. We believe that admonition of Scripture freely you've received, and so we freely give. God has been faithful to meet the financial needs of this ministry for over 50 years. We trust the Lord. We know God will move upon the hearts of his faithful ones, and that's the way he's met the needs all these many years, including the thousands of dollars that are needed to stay on radio. I love you. I want you to know I pray for you every day. And with the Lord's help, we'll conclude this message tomorrow. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.